Jill Anderson is a North Shore naturalist. She lives here in Cook County and joins us periodically to talk about phenology or what's going on in the woods right now. Welcome back, Jill.
Hi.
Well, lots of ants are out and about. Tell me about these busy little insects and what they're doing.
Sure. Well, that's a great question. And there's some really fun connections between ants and some of the other things that we've been talking about this spring that are probably worth mentioning, because they kind of fit into that category of powerful and kind of invisible relationships that are a part of this place that we are part of and that are really fundamental to their health and well-being that we can easily just never be aware of. But luckily, we can be aware because, you know, someone's noticed something and they've decided, oh, that's really interesting. I'm going to, you know, look into that a little bit more, and devoted some time and energy and thought to exploring some of these things. And the relationship between ants and some ants and some plants, is a good example of this, and fits right in with the springtime because people are maybe a little more aware of ants because ants are dispersing at this time of year. And we talked a little bit about that before. But then we're also, I hope, everyone's appreciating the beautiful wildflowers that are a part of our spring bouquet. And it turns out that there's a fascinating relationship that scientists call mutualism between some types of ants and many of these species of wildflowers that we see in the spring and summer here. So some examples would be trilliums, bloodroots, spring beauties, violets, hepatica. Those are just some of the species that have this mutualistic relationship with ants. And the way it works is like this. These plants have evolved a unique means of getting dispersed, of having their seeds dispersed. So if you're a dandelion, well, all you need is the wind, right? You know, pick up your nice little plume and off you go. So that's one strategy for dispersing your seeds. But this one that involves the ants that's unique to some plants is that these plants have a small little appendage on their seeds that's called an elaiosome. And the elaiosome is a fatty little nub on the seed, and ants are attracted to this. So as the fruit ripens and develops and opens up and exposes the seeds, the ants become aware of that, and they actively go out and seek these seeds because of this little nutritious add-on there. And they take the seeds back to their nests and they feed that nutritious little nub to their larvae. But then the rest of the seed is like, well, not of interest, right? So the ant hauls it over and tosses it into the recycle bin. Ants have a little refuse pile associated with their nest.
You might know those clever little beggars.
Yeah, we could take many lessons from the ants. So they haul the seeds over there and they dump them in there. Well, it's not only a nutritious place because of all the other organic material that is put in there by the ants and begins to decompose and kind of a little compost pile, but it also, because the ants are nearby, it's somewhat protected from rodents, because if rodents come near, the ants will swarm the rodents. And so, you know, the rodents kind of tend to stay away from these refuse piles of the ants. So it's a perfect place for these seeds to germinate and grow. And often you see, if you look at little groups of plants that are obviously new, recently germinated small plants, you can often see this association yourself, because you see this little group and you can find the remnants of this, you know, little pile that they're growing in that the ants made. Sometimes the seeds don't make it all the way, or they get, the seeds eventually do get moved around in other ways by other things for these species too. But it turns out that this connection is very important for dispersal of the species. The mutualism isn't direct in the case of this particular ant species and the bloodroot. It was that female ant, adult ants, were much more likely to be raised by those colonies, which of course means that ultimately that colonies spread.
So the proportion of males to females, the female part grew.
Yes.
So we're getting down into things like genes and DNA,
yes,
stuff
right.
like that.
Yeah, so for the ants, in terms of sustaining their genes within the landscape and spreading their genes across the landscape in that colony, that's the key. It's not that we have a whole bunch more individuals, it's that we have a whole bunch more than other ant colonies of reproductive females.
That's pretty amazing. Jill, in 25 words or less, explain to me how the universe works.
Must be ants.
Must be ants. Oh, man.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Jill Anderson, botanist and plant ecologist, thanks for helping us understand ants and plants.
Sure.